It's good to be here in person with you. I'm always with you through the broadcast when I'm not able to be here in person, but it's a special blessing when you can actually be here and see everyone's faces. Such a blessing. If you would, look with me tonight to the book of John, John chapter 6. This chapter, John chapter 6, begins with the Lord Jesus Christ feeding 5,000 plus with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I think it says small fish. It would have better if they were big fish. 5,000 plus with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. And the men that had seen him do that, they saw that he went up into the mountain and that his disciples had got in a small ship and had set off towards Capernaum. Now, what the people had not seen was that later on that night that his disciples, they were out there towing to try to get across to Capernaum, and they were not able to make it across, and that the Lord Jesus had come walking on the water. And that as soon as he had joined them in the ship, that they were on the other side. As soon as he had joined them, the trial was over. And so that's where we will start tonight, verse number 24. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, when camest thou hither? And you'll notice the Lord Jesus doesn't actually answer their question. Look at verse number 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles. You don't seek me because you saw the signs and wonders that I've done, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You seek me because you saw that I can fill your bellies. That's what he basically says to them here. Notice verse 27. He says, Labor not, work not for that meat which perisheth. Work not for that meat which perisheth. Those words, meat which perisheth, can be written over everything, anything and everything in this world, except for our relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. That is the only thing that you could not write those words over, meat that perisheth, whether it be our relationships. And we work hard to maintain good relationships, but those pass away, don't they? You cannot take them when we leave this world. Whether it be the possessions that we work to accumulate, whatever it is, anything and everything in this world, other than our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is meat that perisheth. It cannot endure past the life in this world. But notice the Lord goes on to say, he says, labor not, work not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Work for that meat which endureth to everlasting life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said in another place, he said, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and they will not be able. What was he saying? He was saying, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. In another place, he said, enter you in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad's the way that leads to destruction, and there be many which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Enter in at the straight gate. The Lord Jesus Christ is the straight gate. It's a very narrow way. In fact, it's a singular way. There's only one way that we as sinners may come unto God and be accepted. And that is contrary to what most people in this world believe. But that is what the Scripture teaches, that the Lord Jesus is the only way. And He said to strive to enter in at the straight gate. So what was He saying? Was He saying that man, by his striving, by his seeking, by his working, can earn his way of acceptance with God? You know that that's not what He was saying. Eternal life does not come through our works. For notice the Lord Jesus goes on to say in verse 27, He says, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Everlasting life. He says, strive to receive it. Strive for that eternal life. He says, don't work for the things of the world. Work for that eternal life. And then yet He says right after that, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For you see, the wages of sin, what we earn with our way in this life, with our works, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. But the point Brother Streeter tried to say, tell us this morning, he did so well. That woman, though bowed down, she came. She came. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He exhorts us. He exhorts us here. Labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. By nature, all of us strive and labor after meat that perisheth. Isn't that true? That is as natural as breathing. To strive and to work for meat which perisheth. We don't need to be exhorted to do that. That comes natural. But spiritual things, the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the things concerning God, it's work. We must strive. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ told these people here? Now, I know tonight I'm going to try to read too many verses. There's so many verses here. A lifetime would not be enough for a pastor to cover John chapter 6. So I need to try to not dwell so long on each of these verses, because I do want to read several here. But notice the end of verse 27. The Lord said, for him hath God the Father sealed. God the Father testified that it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, to whom all power is given, both in heaven and earth. He sealed him. He spoke from heaven. And you remember what he said? He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What was he doing? He was attesting. He was putting his seal upon him. Our Lord Jesus prayed. He said, as thou hast given him power, that is to the Son of God, the Son of Man over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And God proved it once and for all. If there was any question after all the miracles and all the signs and the voice that came from heaven, God proved it once and for all that the Lord Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, when He raised Him from the dead. When He brought Him forth from the tomb, He proved beyond a shadow of doubt that this one that looked just like you and I did, that He wasn't just like you and I. That He was God manifest in flesh. He put that seal upon Him. That's what the Lord Jesus tells these people here. That He's the one who can give eternal life. Why? Because God has sealed Him to do so. Now notice verse 28. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They appear to have wondered what works our Savior meant when He said, labor for that meat which endureth to everlasting life. So they ask, what work shall we do? What shall we do? It makes me think of the Philippian jailer tonight. When his heart was pricked, you remember what he asked? He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And notice the Lord gives the same answer here, verse 29. "Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God." This is what God requires of us. That you believe on Him whom He has sent. That's what God requires, that we believe on Him who He has sent. He requires that you and I believe on His Son whom He has sealed. That we believe in Him, that we come to Him, that we trust in Him, that we rely on Him as our Savior, and only on Him as our Savior. That we believe on Him whom He has sent. Verse number 30. "They said therefore unto Him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" You know, these people, they were just like us. Just like us. "What sign do you show us then, that we may believe on you?" These were the very people that had just eaten of the food that the Lord Jesus had multiplied. And after feeding 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, taking up 12 baskets full, thereafter, of leftovers, and he presses them with the truth that they must believe in Him. And he said, "Well, what sign do you show us that we might believe?" And you know, it's easy to kind of start looking down on this people, on them for this, but they're no different than I am. No different. God has proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus is His Son. By the works that He did, by the resurrection from the dead, and yet, we're pressed that we should believe on Him. And what do we want? We want to, "Well, if I could feel something, then I could believe. Lord, help me feel more than I feel today so that I can believe." Or whatever it is. God has proven to us time and time and time and time again that we're His children by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we want to see a sign, don't we? We want something else. They were faithless, and how often am I faithless? Lord, I believe. Help. Help my unbelief. Now, verse 31. They said, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven." See, it doesn't come through in the verse, but they basically say, "Well, you know, give us a sign that we may believe. You know, we know about Moses. He gave the manna, fed 600,000 people day after day with that manna that rained down from heaven." And the Lord Jesus told them, "Moses didn't give you that manna. Moses was a man just like you and I." You imagine if it was up to us to feed 600,000 people day after day for 40 years? And yet, they gave credit to Moses. But the Lord, you know, the Lord tells them here. He says, "Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." He gave the Israelites the manna, but the Lord Jesus ceases to talk about that. He's going to talk about something much more important. He gives you the true bread from heaven. "For the bread of God is He which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world." The life, the true bread, the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to give spiritual life. And it's eternal life. It's everlasting life. It's not like that manna. That manna sustained their temporal life. They ate it day after day and they lived for a period of time, but they all died in the wilderness. It was temporary. It was only a picture of the true bread of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that true bread of God who gives life that is everlasting, that never ends. And you know, the manna, it sustained the life of the Israelites and only the Israelites. But the true bread from heaven gives life to the world. Not just to those few Israelites, but to the world. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as the bread of heaven to save some out of every tongue and kindred and people, tribe and nation. To save many from every nation. You see the true bread. That manna, it was a picture, but oh, what a poor picture of the true bread. Notice verse 34. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. It seems to me that though the Lord Jesus said to them that the bread of God is He, that is a person, they still imagined that He was talking about some type of food, some type of bread. He had just told them that it's He, but they were looking for some type of bread. So now He clearly declares in verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. I'm the one and the only one that gives spiritual life unto the world. I am the bread of life. I'm the bread that only gives spiritual life. And I'm the bread that only upholds and maintains spiritual life. You know, we not only have to receive our life from the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're saved, when we're born again, when He brings us to life in Him, He gives us that life to start, but He maintains and sustains our life also, day after day. Just like that manna sustained them temporally in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus sustains us spiritually day after day. Why is our life everlasting? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal and everlasting. And our life flows to us from Him. We come to Him, we believe Him, we trust Him, we receive Him. How? As the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. As the only way to the Father, as the only Savior of sinners. And notice the wonderful promise that we have here in the end of verse 35. He said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What does that mean? That means that all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never lack anything. We will never hunger. We will never thirst. You say, well, I feel hungry and thirsty many times. So do I. But the Lord Jesus declares here that us as believers, we will never hunger. We will never thirst. What does He mean? That means that we will never lack anything that's required of us for acceptance with God. Amen. Not in the least. Not even the little bit of thirst or hunger when it comes to us being received by the Father based on the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 36, but I said unto you that you also have seen me and you believe not. You've seen me and you believe not. As I prepared to try to bring this message tonight, my prayer was that there wouldn't be anyone here who would hear this message of the bread of life of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe not. Believe not. May it not be said of any of us that are hearing this word that we've seen the Lord Jesus Christ declared in His word and yet we believe not. That's such a sad account, isn't it? They came after Him, but they didn't come to Him. They came seeking for Him. But they didn't come to Him. They did not believe in Him. Verse 37. The Lord said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Amen. Was the Lord Jesus discouraged by this conversation with these people? No. He wasn't discouraged. Why? Because he knew all that the Father giveth me, every single last one of them shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, I've heard that verse and I've even thought of that verse, that all who come to the Lord Jesus Christ seeking salvation, seeking acceptance with God through Him, that none would be cast away or put away or rejected. And that's true. That is true. But that's not what this verse is talking about. It's talking about though we fall, though we fail, though we sin, and I do. And I think I can speak for all of us. We do. He won't cast us away. That's what he's talking about here. Just like someone taking some stones. You know, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. Same word. Throw the first stone. The Lord Jesus is not going to throw us away. Thank God. Praise God. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful message? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I've had to plead this promise to myself many times. Verse 38. We'll read 37 again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And this is my Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Oh, to be a nothing. That's my prayer tonight, to be one of these nothings. To be a nothing. It's God the Father's will that the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the Savior of sinners, should not lose any of the nothings that God the Father chose and gave him to save. I'm glad to take my place right there as one of those nothings. Shall the Son of God do the will of the Father? Is he going to do it? He said, this is the Father's will. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You know he's going to do the Father's will, because he always does those things that please the Father. None that come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation are going to be lost. None. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is God's perfect servant, and he came to do his Father's will, which was to lose none that the Father gave unto him. And he will raise us all up at the last day. Not one's going to be missing. Verse 40, he said, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Mm-hmm. Do you tonight see the Son? Do you see him? That is what the preacher tries to do, right? When you stand in the pulpit to preach, your goal, your prayer is, Lord, that the people who hear the message may see the Lord Jesus. not the preacher. I can't help you. I can't help myself, much less help you. But the Lord Jesus can help you and me. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son. Do you see Him tonight? Do you see Him as the bread of life? Do you see Him as the one that God sent into this world to save sinners? Everyone which sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day.
That's right.
The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Do you come to the Lord Jesus tonight? Do you come to him? And I'm not asking, did you come to him a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 years? Do you come to him tonight as you hear his word preach? Lord, save me or I perish. You're the bread of life. You're exactly what I need. You are who I need to be accepted with God. Then God's drawing you. He's drawing you. No man. Brother Lance, you preached that this morning. None seek after God. We give ourselves way too much credit. There's none that seeketh after God. If we tonight seek God through our Lord Jesus Christ, why is that? It's because God's drawn us. He has drawn us. That's what he says here. No man can come to me. Are you coming? No man can, except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He's seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I like that word, hath. That's tonight. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. It's not something we're going to have. It's not something we had. It's something that we have. And we have tonight everlasting life. One more segment here. Verses 48 through 58. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which is come down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. I think as I've tried to read and give a few comments on this verse, you understand. Believers, you understand why I said that a lifetime would not be enough. that fully expound all that the Lord teaches here in John chapter 6. But the last thing I want to just share a few thoughts about here is our Lord's words here. They're so important. They apply not only to these people that He spoke to this day, but they apply to you and I tonight. He said, "Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you." You know, most of us have heard these words for myself. I've heard these words my whole life. And maybe some of the shock of the words, you know, you might lose some of that. But someone who hears these for the first time, maybe there's someone here tonight and this is the first time you're hearing these words that the Lord Jesus said, "Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and you drink His blood, you have no life in you." Many people couldn't bear this saying. They went away. Why? Because they were not drawn, they were not given spiritual sight to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying here. And He's not talking about the Mass. He's not even talking about the Lord's Supper. He's not talking about that bread and wine being turned into His body and into His blood, and then when taking that's eaten and drinking His blood. That's not what He's talking about here. What is He talking about? What is it to eat His flesh and to drink His blood? I'm going to just give just a couple things. First of all, it's to believe God the Eternal Son has come in the flesh. It's to believe that God the Eternal Son has come in the flesh and is truly and really man, the God-man. Yeah. That He is God manifest in the flesh. That Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Do you believe that tonight? That He, that one that walked amongst other Jews, looked like anybody else, that He was God walking upon this earth. Unless you believe that, you're not eating His flesh and drinking His blood. Secondly, it's to believe that His flesh, His body was given for the life of His people. And that His blood was shed for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins, for our redemption, for the redemption of His people. That when His body was crucified, when He gave His life upon that cross, He wasn't dying as everyone else who dies in this world. He was dying as a substitute for His people. And that body that was sacrificed, it was sacrificed in the place of all who believe and trust in Him. For our acceptance, for our peace with God. That's to eat His flesh and to drink His blood. Yeah. And thirdly, it's to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. To receive Him as our righteousness. To receive Him as our Redeemer. To receive Him as the bread of heaven that gives life unto the world. You see, imagine that I have a piece of bread here sitting on a plate. And that bread that's sitting upon this plate, it will not help me if I only see it. I can look at that bread till I'm blue in the face. And just looking at it won't help me. And it's not enough for me to admire it. My, that's a fine piece of bread. Will that sustain me? Will that give me life? Absolutely not. It's not enough to understand its composition. Well, that's white bread, or that's wheat bread, or it's, you know, 5 grain or 10 grain, and I don't know where they find all these grains. 24 grain, whatever. Just knowing the composition of that bread will not help me. What's the only way that that bread can actually help me? I have to eat it. I have to receive it unto myself. I have to eat that bread. And it's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough for us to know a lot about Him. It's not enough to even know that he was God manifest in the flesh, unless we receive him, unless we believe upon him, unless we commit our souls unto him. Lord, save me or I perish. We must take him. We must take him as our Lord and Savior. And when we do, and if we do, we have everlasting life. I believe that's what the Lord means. He means so much more. But I believe that that's what he means when he says that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Must believe who he is, that God manifests in the flesh. We must believe what he did. He lived a perfect life for his people, and he died a perfect death to put away the sins of his people. And then we must receive him. We must believe upon him as our Savior. May the Lord bless his word tonight. Thank you.